Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Maha moms out there. Nothing like a strong, healthy mom, right? Get your mind out of the gutter, guys. Just stay with us here. Big Bobby contingency out there amongst health nut moms. And we've got an interesting story to give to you in just a little bit. Kutchy coming up at 7:45 and the tariffs, the updates. We will give you those here in just a few moments. But let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:05, the Great Dawn Stensland.
Yes, and good morning, Kale and Company News Live this Tuesday morning. Staying warm for now, but I'll tell you when the big chill and some nasty precipitation and weather will be moving in. We are sponsored this February 4th by American Heritage Credit Union and Kale & Company News Live. So let's get to it. We do have a lot of breaking news going on, a lot of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania news as well. I'll just point out to you that Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, put this on your radar, is delivering his third budget address to the State House and Senate today here in Pennsylvania. Expected to focus on the energy industry and also wants increased investments for things like education, public safety, and more. We'll talk about SEPTA, so we'll watch that as he's going to make some new pitches for how to generate revenue and new revenues to make up for a budget shortfall. It'll be interesting. The thing to watch especially is recreational marijuana, because he's talked about that. You know, I think he wants to tap into all the billions of dollars because our neighbors already, you know, have made it legal.
Or you could tap into all the energy that we have underneath the ground here in our state. But I know you won't give up on the electric stuff. But as far as the marijuana thing, that's interesting because I just read a story in the Wall Street Journal. There's a debate now as to the health implications, and they compared weed versus alcohol, which is fascinating. Maybe we'll get into it tomorrow at some point, but hey, I'm all for legalizing marijuana, even though I'm not somebody that imbibes in it, but you can tax the hell out of it, generate more revenue. I'm fine with that. Again, just my whole stance is do not let police catch you driving behind the wheel under the influence of weed. And I'm against it for alcohol, and the same thing applies with marijuana.
That's a great point. Yep. You know, we have to, I don't know if they have the technology like they have for people to get caught with drunk driving and tested on the spot.
Yeah.
So maybe that would go along with it.
Well, we have enough people distracted with the smartphone that causes accidents on the roads. Now you throw in marijuana and Skippy all blazed out of his brain. No.
So we do have these, some breaking news. We have a shooting in Kensington. Looks like there were homeowners saw somebody trying to break into their home in the Kensington section of Philadelphia and could see somebody breaking into, got in through the vestibule, like the front area of their home, and then was trying to break into the home. Homeowner then confronts the guy or yells through the door and then ultimately shoots and kills the man. So investigating that, there are some reports this guy might have been a homeless guy, but the homeowner, you know, cooperating fully, called 911 and says, this guy was breaking down my door. So we'll try to get a legal gun owner and all of that, a homeowner, in the wee hours of the morning. So we'll try to get that information for you. That's an active scene. Then we have these two teenage girls delivering food. They were injured in Philadelphia after they were caught in the crossfire of this huge gun battle going on in North Philadelphia. It's an incredible story, and it's making national headlines, unfortunately, for Philadelphia. But this shootout between two different groups, one man's in critical condition, and then the teenagers, were injured and are recovering as well. It happened about 7:30-ish last night, so not a late-night situation. In the 2800 block, this is North Reese Street. Officers were called, frantic 911 calls. They find a 26-year-old man was shot in his lower body. He was rushed to the hospital. He remains in very critical condition. But these two victims, an 18-year-old and 16-year-old girls, they were working for DoorDash at the time, and they were shot in the, it sounds like they were shot in the legs. So I don't think these are life-threatening necessarily. They're listed, they're hospitalized in stable condition. But the police just saying that these shooters, two different groups of shooters, apparently some kind of a drug battle. So was this involving gangs? We don't know. But, firing dozens of gunshots hitting homes, hitting cars.
For a DoorDash driver.
And I think that the teenage girls doing the DoorDash, yeah. I think they just were literally caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, innocent bystanders just trying to do their job, right?
So Philadelphia police were trying to see if they're, you know, as far as following their investigation, no arrests in this one. So we've got that going on. Did I say we were sponsored by American Heritage Credit Union? That's our sponsor this morning. So we talked a lot about financial news. And just a recap for you as far as Trump, a lot more with executive orders today, because it looks like he is going to sign an executive order dealing with the Department of Education. And DOGE is looking into the Department of Education as well. So that's going on. As far as other financial news, we've been talking about the other executive order that Trump signed yesterday, and that was directing the United States of America to take steps to start developing this sovereign wealth fund that we've been talking about, government-owned investment fund that Trump says the USA could really profit off of. And this, at the timing, and that's what we were talking about, with the timing here is that's just as the Trump administration grants the Chinese-owned TikTok until early April to find a American partner, a domestic partner, or buyer in all of this. And then we would, I guess, profit 50%. So as they look for the groundwork, the bottom line is they're trying to let the government, the U.S. government, benefit and the citizens benefit from these types of investments as we move forward. So just wanted to highlight that for you. So it'll be interesting to watch. Here's Governor Shapiro doing his State of the State address, watching all of this happening in real time. Will there be a reaction as Shapiro is talking about education, has close ties? Obviously, you think about Penn State, and you think about all of the universities that Shapiro has said we need to fund more, cutbacks happening at Penn State and state-run colleges. So all of this is, I think all of these are moving parts that are not separate from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think we need to watch for today.
Be interesting to see how he positions himself on certain issues and certain policies with the vision of perhaps being the Democrat nominee in 2028. Because in all likelihood, if he ends up becoming that 4 or 3 years from now, he could very well be running against the current vice president of the United States.
Well said.
So this, I think this goes beyond just at the state level. This is kind of, you know, an early positioning of yourself on the national stage.
And making national news.
Yep.
U.S. Department of Education, speaking of education, is now launching this investigation into 5 colleges. And I was looking for Pennsylvania colleges. I don't see Pennsylvania colleges on here, specifically Columbia University being targeted. This is over what they're saying. They're looking into so-called, and I'm quoting here, widespread anti-Semitic harassment.
Oh, so the Ivy League hatred is back.
Yes.
Okay.
But what I find interesting about this is that it's yes, Ivy League, Berkeley, you know, some of the usual suspects, let's say, Columbia, but also Northwestern University in Chicago.
Yeah, great journalism school, Medill, right?
Yes. And another great journalism school, I think, the one I went to, University of Minnesota, Twin Cities.
Yep.
So that's another one under investigation, which is obviously U of M. That's not a private Ivy League school.
No.
Then Portland State University, University of California, Berkeley, said that one. So for these 5 different students, these were those or 5 different schools, I should say. These were the universities where we had alleged anti-Semitic, you know, bullying, the protests, but that it went as far as, you know, these Jewish students really felt targeted by this.
I'm surprised UPenn didn't make the cut here, because we obviously dealt with that here in Philadelphia with what was it? McGill, Liz McGill, Grace McGill, whatever her name was.
And to your point, I wonder if the way that the governor and as well the city dealt with that, because remember, we were live on the air and it was in the wee hours of the morning. There you had our police commissioner even there.
Yeah.
All of the TAC teams locally, Pennsylvania. I believe Pennsylvania State Police had some involvement, but mostly Philadelphia police were there, woke up these protesters.
They were in the tents, right?
Yes,
in the little camp setups.
Said,
yeah.
Bye-bye. Wake up and bye-bye.
Yep, it's time to go, pal.
So no, I don't see any Pennsylvania or New Jersey or Delaware universities being targeted.
Okay.
But you'll see this in the headlines, so I want to give you that heads up for sure. And then, of course, we're looking at all of the updates as far as this Northeast Philadelphia plane crash. We now know that 24 people are injured, are recovering. Mayor Sherelle Parker has been holding daily news conferences, updating us once again. So of the 24 injured, and it was initially 19, then we learned 22, and now it's up to 24 people injured. But we still have 4 people in the hospital. 2 of them are in critical condition, and the number of fatalities remains at 7, 6 on board the plane, 1 person on the ground. You could hear with Mayor Sherelle Parker when she was speaking, and she said at one point, we're very careful as to how we're reporting this. We had people on fire walking out of the fire, their cars hit and that sort of thing. And so the what I infer here, the 2 people in critical condition, they are in very they're in grave condition.
I know after the news, we're going to talk about tariffs specifically with Mexico. But with the residency of the deceased that were here at the hospital for the children, the child, has the country of Mexico or the government or any Mexican official released any public statement on the deceased? Because I know, Stalker, you were thinking that shenanigans might have been at play here. Has Mexico released a statement?
Yeah, Mexicans, what are they, the president of Mexico?
Yeah.
I think she...
Well, Claudia Sheinbaum.
Yeah, she came out and acknowledged the names and...
Okay.
At least of the family.
Okay.
I guess they did the pilots as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I was just wondering if they've made any public statements.
I believe that's all.
Okay.
It was just a statement on, yeah.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah, so we're learning more about that. The investigation continues. Another headline, Mayor Sherelle Parker announcing that, yes, she has put out the request to both the Shapiro administration for state emergency funds and as well to the Trump administration to look at those, some kind of federal funding for this to help rebuild. Businesses today are just finally allowed to go back into the area. And I know some of you watching and listening here in Kale & Company are involved in some local fundraising efforts to help people recover.
Yeah.
So it's an incredible scene that looks like a war zone, as we've said. Headlining for you, because we're going to talk about it in just moments away, as far as the United States pausing the implementation of those tariffs that we've talked a whole lot about for our neighbors, Canada, Mexico. What about China? There's a whole lot of news revolving around that. The forecast. So yesterday, what a beautiful, balmy, warm day. I want to get to this forecast because it's important for all of us who come in the wee hours of the morning. So we're going to reach the high for the day, which is just 49, 50 degrees, depending on where you are. That's going to happen earlier in the day. And then we take a turn, unfortunately, with the winds blowing in and turning quite blustery by this evening. We drop like a rock. Then what they're saying is it looks like we're going to sustain some nasty weather for the commute. So we want to watch that very carefully. As a wintry mix is coming in, that's tomorrow night with the winds picking up. But it's nice. Today's a nice mild day before the colder air mass moves in. So it's tomorrow evening. That's what we really want to look for. So tonight, 49 degrees, but then these 30-mile-an-hour winds are going to whip through, bring in a new system. So tomorrow, 35 degrees for your high.
So instead of waking up at 4:20, I'll set my alarm at 4 o'clock so I can scrape my windshield for a half
hour
and get the truck running.
Exactly.
You know, on second thought, work from home ideas sound like a great idea. I take back everything I ever said about remote work.
Yeah, so it's a really, Thursday morning is the day we could see quite a messy commute with that freezing, like ice and precipitation and it's that rain ice mix.
Yeah, I hate that.
I know.
Either give us nothing or give us 6 inches.
So we are sponsored this morning as we think about Eagles and we think about Nolans, and we'll talk a lot about that too coming up. But it's exciting. Everybody's wearing their, you know, their Eagles pride across the city of Philadelphia, rooting for our Eagles, and it's a lot of fun.
It is really amazing. Everywhere you go, you just either midnight or Kelly Green.
Here's my question about this is, do we have, there's a lot of Philly hatred around the country.
Yep.
A lot of people, a lot of areas hate the Philadelphia Eagles. However, a lot of people hate the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think the hatred, do you think the people who aren't in Kansas City or Philadelphia or the surrounding areas, do you think they're rooting for Philadelphia?
It's funny you say that.
Or Kansas City?
There's the hatred of Philadelphia, but there's the fatigue of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
So it's hate versus fatigue, and it's the Swift factor, it's the Kelce factor. I'm going to give an unpopular opinion.
Uh-oh.
A lot of people are saying, because the last two Super Bowls, the ratings have gone off the charts the last 2 years, 23 and 24. And everybody is saying that this year, as long as it's a good game, they'll break the record for a third straight year. I think the opposite. I think there's the tune-out factor of the Chiefs with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, plus the Eagles' disdain. If that game is lopsided, which could very well mean the Eagles are pounding the Chiefs, because I think the Eagles are going to win. I could see the numbers being down.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yes. Unless it's just an amazing nail biter, a cliffhanger. But then again, you have, I mean, you're talking about history, right? Like,
yeah.
The Chiefs are going for three in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Even Brady didn't do that.
Yep.
So, I'll be wrong on that, just like I was tariffs.
Which we'll get to next.
Yes, which we'll get to next, because there's breaking news, I'll just say, this morning with what China, who's, I mean, they're red. They're like the Chiefs, right? They're the red.
Are you saying they're a red state?
They're like the Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs, right?
Yes, yep.
I don't know. I was just trying to.
Andy Reid's like the Xi Jinping of the AFC. I've had it with him.
91 LSXer says, folks who don't live in the Casey Philly metro area are rooting for a meteor.
Yes.
That is so funny.
Brother.
Oh, my gosh.
We need to meet one day.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. We are sponsored. Thank you, American Heritage Credit Union, for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live with so much breaking, so much developing today. You know, at American Heritage Credit Union, they can help boost your savings. Just choose a 12-month IRA certificate at 4.20% annual percentage yield, or a 9-month certificate at 4.15%. So just visit them. AmericanHeritageCU.org. That's AmericanHeritageCU.org. Federally insured by NCUA. Thank you, American Heritage Credit Union, for sponsoring Kale & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. It happened much sooner and faster than I ever thought it would. Kale & Company, we're back after this. Stay right there.
It's Kale & Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Trump, do not cost me an extra $1,100 a year. I'm not having that. And it looks like we are going to avoid the likelihood of that happening, at least on the two fronts, that being Canada and Mexico. As I said yesterday in the Big Take, I thought Canada and Mexico would bend the knee. I just didn't think they would both happen six hours apart. So credit to Dawn for getting this one correct. We will see what happens with China. You know, Mexico comes out and they agree to deploy 10,000 troops to the U.S. border in exchange for the tariff pause. That was the conversation that was had between Trump and Mexico President Claudia Sheinbaum. Trump posting a long tweet or post, I should say, on Truth Social, saying that he spoke with her. We're going to get 10,000 Mexican soldiers on the border, and in exchange, America will do a better job of preventing firearms from working their way through the southern border and going to Mexico. And then, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 hours roughly later, Justin Trudeau comes out and he puts out his post on social media as Trump and Trudeau agree to pause tariffs on Canada in exchange for more border enforcement, which will also include another 10,000 individuals and personnel, as they are calling it, for border protection. So that's great. We've got an additional 20,000 on top of the Americans that are there that Trump deployed very early on in week one, as we are now in day two of week three. So it looks like all of that is averted. We talked about the products, the supplies, the costs, the percentages on the tariffs, and the third piece to the puzzle, the Daily Caller is where I'm reading this from. Headline, it's only been 2 days since Trump's China tariffs dropped, and Beijing already, quote, wants to make a deal. They are citing sources that were originally reported from the Wall Street Journal. So, Dawn, your moment of sunshine, your victory lap, as you said. But were you surprised that it happened that quickly?
Nope.
Not at all?
No, I just think China. So that one of the headlines, even though I think China, gets Trump more than anybody. I do. I think Xi gets Trump and Trump gets him, and that's a good thing. Not that they're buddies, but I think that Trump scares the heck out of our southern and northern neighbors, those leaders.
Yeah.
And so I think they thought, holy, he's not messing around, because it's not, and it's a lie to call this a trade war. And so people, you know, the media called it a trade war. All the headlines, oh, mm-hmm. trade war, it's not about trade. That's not what this is. It's, we get the raw deal. It's about the fact that these countries are allowed to just traffic all of this hot mess right into our living rooms in across America. Drugs and the human trafficking. Where are the kids? Where are the 350,000 or 500,000? Where are the trafficked kids or the missing children? Still don't know where the kids are. And so good. Mexico came back and said, oh, yeah, well, you guys have let guns come into our country, so help us out. Now it changes that culture, mm-hmm. and I think that's fantastic, because now our neighbors, we're all working together. With China, one of the headlines, China strikes back. So they're saying, oh, yeah, you want to give us 10% more tariffs? Well, American cars, pickup trucks, coal, oil, Calvin Klein, Google, anything else. But the fact that they're specifically putting, like, pickup trucks, coal and oil, I mean, that's Trump's wheelhouse, right?
Yeah.
So they know the language. It's all about the deal. It's a negotiation. China's being tougher.
To your point,
this is what's going on.
I think, and you said, you know, they're not buddies, but there is two different
partners. You know what I'm saying?
And there's two different ways you can govern or you can rule, if you want to use the word rule. You know, I think when Trump looks at Trudeau, I mean, he knows that Trudeau will melt like a yes. snow cone in Phoenix. Claudia Sheinbaum, I'm not trying to be sexist, but Trump probably is like, I can steamroll her. So you have the Justin Trudeau, Zelenskys of the world, these little squids. And then you have Xi Jinping, who underneath, you know, the business attire and the little smirk that he always has on his face, the guy's a ruthless killer. I mean, let's call it what it is. And I do think that he and Trump both kind of have that type A alpha, the same way Putin has that same mentality that Justin Trudeau has never had and never will have. Whereas I think Poilievre is a completely different type of future leader for Canada. But I thought this was interesting because you're right. Like, China is still trying to play a little bit tough here. Beijing on Sunday denounced Trump's tariffs, stating that fentanyl was, quote, America's problem. That was according to Reuters. Notably, deaths in the U.S. involving synthetic opioids other than methadone, primarily illicitly manufactured fentanyl, rose in 2022 by 73,838. And as we know, this is trying to end the problem where it is manufactured. And that is in China, because these chemical companies that are based in China manufacture it there. It ends up getting on boats. It passes through Mexico and comes up through our country. But to sit there and imply that it's America's problem, I think is factually incorrect. I mean, and I think that's where a lot of this tariff conversation starts, and these threats, and I think they're threats, and I think it's a good threat, because Trump, and I played you the clip yesterday in the Big Take when he was at the Oval Office at his desk, and one of the reporters said, will there be further negotiations? Are you open to? And he just looked at the reporter, I think it was a female, and he just had the most stone cold stoic look on his face, and he's like, no. So to me, it's about nipping it in the bud where it starts, and it starts with China. And when you talk about it, and Tom Homan has cited the numbers, Dawn, I mean, there have been more children killed in the United States by fentanyl than all adults combined in the United States by all terrorist organizations combined. So when we talk about what is murdering Americans at a far more alarming rate than any other culpable suspect, fentanyl's the number one killer. So you have to knock it off.
Where's the fentanyl coming from? China.
It's coming from China. Yep.
But there was a... So China has said this, that they've said, well, why don't you get your people to stop doing drugs? Why are you blaming us? We didn't. It comes through Mexico. So there was a crackdown, and I'm forgetting the timing. I have to look it up. But there was a crackdown on China because it's coming. obviously it's coming from them. So then what they did was basically the word is that China essentially sends the raw ingredients to Mexico and they put it all together. The problem with that is that China was, I mean, I'm just going to say it bluntly, China was much better at concocting the right mix that wasn't deadly. Once it went into the Mexican, you know, into Mexico, the problem with there was that fentanyl, it's so potent, even like a grain of salt is deadly. So the problem is they just don't have the recipe down. I'm obviously generalizing, but that's what I infer from talking to like law enforcement about it.
Well, and how many times do we have drug busts where they say there's enough fentanyl in that guy's trunk to kill New York City, right? I mean, to your point, I mean, a little granule of it, I don't know if that's even a thing, but to your point, that can kill you. And there is personal accountability and responsibility, but what's so tragic about it, to your point, is especially when we hear these tragic stories of minors that think they're smoking marijuana and it's laced with fentanyl and they end up dying from it. They think they're just getting stoned and next thing you know, they're 6 feet under. And that's the tragedy of all of this, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's scary. China's not wrong. We do have an issue with, as Americans, again, we're the gluttons.
Yeah.
So they're not wrong that we don't shut this down in our country. And so we sort of wink, wink, allow it as a, I don't know, a rite of a, like a passage into adulthood, whatever. Oh, ha, ha, they drank some, they snuck some beer in the garage or, you know, some pot or whatever.
Yep.
But the problem is that this fentanyl, it's just so potent, it's so powerful. And that's, is that then the answer to, as we wait for Governor Shapiro to deliver his State of the State address and talk about recreational marijuana being legal? Obviously, it would not be for underage people, but we all know the trickle-down impact of that.
Speaking of tariffs, Mexico, and even beer, coming up on the cut sheet in just a couple of minutes, Chuck Schumer. With a bottle of Corona. Oh, this went viral yesterday. Speaking of trade wars, we'll get into that as we continue. It's a Tuesday morning. What's on the cut sheet? You will find out coming up next as we are about to hit it right on time for the first time, perhaps even in 2025. So I'm just going to shut up. Let's get to it next. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
What? On the cut sheet.
What's the cut sheet on this Tuesday? Sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring the ever important Tuesday edition. What's on the cut sheet? So yesterday, I know this has been covered many places, but I want to get to it first because then we have an update on this because Tom Holman responded to it last night. So yesterday, it was reported that New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy kind of alluded to the fact that he may be harboring a migrant in his home.
I don't think he alluded, Greg.
He kind of said, I'm not going to get into specifics, right?
Harboring fugitives.
But not in the house. It's over the garage.
Yeah.
Which, we can have fun with that.
Yeah, it's like Al Cowling saying, I got OJ with me, but he's in the back seat.
You know.
Yeah, he's not in the passenger seat.
Coach RC, we don't want him in the main house because, you know, it's got to be, like, over the garage.
All right, let's roll what he said, and then there's an update with Tom Holman. Roll it. Yeah.
Okay.
Talking about, I don't want to get into too much detail, but there's someone in our broader universe whose immigration status is not yet at the point that they are trying to get it to. And we said, you know what, let's have her live at our house above our garage. And good luck to the feds coming in to try to get her.
Oh, wow.
Well, good luck to the feds. By the way, above the garage?
That sounds
very inhumane to me, well, Dawn. It's cold out there.
Doesn't it sound a little, you know,
elitist?
Racist or elitist? Yeah. Like, well, she can vacuum the house.
We
and
keep
then,
the Mexicans
you know,
out
yeah,
back.
Right?
They don't come to the main corridor.
She's not in the, in the guest bedroom.
What an asshat he is. Now, you said you were talking about this, I guess, in the second hour of your show yesterday.
I give Dan Borowski. He saw it.
Okay.
So when did the story break?
But I don't know. It's not important. Let's talk about the story. Thank you.
So the story is that we know that Homan has basically said, Tom Homan, the Borders are, has basically said, made my day. He has said it to various governors, including Arizona's governor. And so he said, if you're caught violating federal law and harboring a fugitive, they could arrest you.
Yeah, there's no sanctuary status in Phil Murphy's private residency.
No.
This is not, and we've talked about it from the school element. We've talked about it from the prison element. You can't go into the correctional facilities and, basically yank out a prisoner behind bars. You have to wait until they're out there, on the street, so to speak. But unless legally I'm off base here, and I could be, so if anybody wants to fact check me, I have no problem with that. There's no, way that if Tom Homan and ICE showed up at Phil Murphy's garage or whatever place he's talking about, there's nothing he can do. ICE could legitimately just walk right in there.
Well, no, they have to have a warrant.
Well, obviously,
they can obtain a warrant, but he just gave them probable cause.
Gave the location.
They can they can take his Greg Stocker's what's on the cut sheet could actually be presented in court, Your Honor. Your Honor, I present to you Greg Stocker's
cut sheet. Be the greatest publicity we ever had.
Yes. And, here's probable cause provided by Greg Stocker's cut sheet. Play it. And then they say that's the basis of our warrant.
Yeah.
He's harboring an illegal individual, he states.
We saw that. We saw ICE in Boston going right into houses. Just because Murphy's the governor doesn't mean that ICE can't walk into his, abode.
Well, but they're doing everything by the book. So they will have warrants.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do have to have a search warrant. All U.S. laws are applicable, and even those arrested during these raids, of course, everyone gets due process, even if you're here illegally in this country. So Murphy, they're not going to bust into somebody's home or business. They do, by law, have to have that warrant.
I mean, look, this is fine by me. If this is the way the Democrats want to continue to thumb their nose at what the American public in vast majority voted for and against their policies, keep doing it. It's only going to continue to tank your favorability ratings. I mean, this was arguably, if not 1A, 1B, the number one issue this past election. And you have the Murphys of the world or the Brandon Johnsons or some people out on the West Coast, whether it's mayors or governors that are of the Democrat Party, just make my day, tough guy. Okay.
Also, the legal implications of this, too, if you have somebody living at your residence and you are paying them, you can't pay somebody who's not here legally, you can't write them a check or,
what about an IOU?
Put them on the payroll. You have to pay them under the table, right?
Yeah. So,
there's implications in that, too.
Yes.
Tom Homan addressed this yesterday. This is Cut 18, Phil. He seems to indicate that he may arrest Governor Murphy.
That would be epic.
Yeah. I think he was on Hannity's show last night, Roll It, Phil.
Let me read a headline to you. Chicago leaders encourage residents to exercise their rights in resisting Trump's deportation policies. The governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, basically admitted that he knew somebody that didn't have full documentation, that he was hiding over his garage.
But there's someone in our broader universe whose immigration status is not yet at the point that they are trying to get it to. And we said, you know what, let's have her live at our house above our garage. And good luck to the feds coming in to try to get her.
Your comment on all of that?
Well, I think the government's pretty foolish saying what he said, because I got note of it. Won't let it go. We'll look into it. And if he's knowingly harboring, concealing an illegal alien, that's a violation of Title 8 United States Code 1324. I would seek prosecution, or the secretary would seek prosecution. So maybe he's bluffing. If he's not, we'll deal with that. And as far as suing sanctuary cities, well, get in line, because the Trump administration is going to do that already. Sanctuary cities are sanctuaries for criminals. There's one example, right? If the young sanctuary cities in New York City, If they would have gave us over the killer of Lincoln Riley when he got arrested in New York City for endangering a child, he would have been in jail. He would have never killed Lincoln Riley. Sanctuary cities are responsible for deaths of thousands of young children throughout my career. And we're going to sue them. We're going to hold them. And look, if he's got to go to the Supreme Court, that's what President Trump wanted to do. He will end sanctuary cities.
You know,
great response from Tom Homan. I think there's one of two ways you can respond to Phil Murphy's ridiculous, or as Homan said, foolish statement. You could sit there and take the high road if you're Tom Homan and say, I'm not playing your political game. This isn't about politics. This is about the federal law and the safety and security of Americans. Or he could call him on his bluff and do exactly what he said by citing title whatever, article blah blah, 1324. But, I mean, here's the thing. My guess is Phil Murphy's probably not harboring an MS-13 or a cartel member. It's probably somebody that's lower down the totem pole on Tom Homan's, list of most dangerous to least dangerous. So Homan probably is not going to play that game. But if he did, would anybody criticize him? I mean, Phil Murphy, you're playing politics. You're basically Arnold's, make my day. Okay. Well, if they show up, I don't want to hear from the media because the governor basically called out Tom Homan and said, go ahead and try it.
Well, under federal law, if true, if he's harboring somebody that knowingly that this person's illegally in this country, then Murphy, even the First Lady of New Jersey, I mean, not that I think this would happen, but they could, if they serve the warrant, if they discover this person there, they could certainly face a fine or jail time. But I will also say this, there is locally an assemblyman, Eric Peterson. He called out Murphy and he suggested that at the very least, local authorities should check on women's safety. He said, quote, Murphy let women on his own soccer team, remember this, suffer in terrible conditions. And now he wants us to believe he's suddenly acting out of kindness. It's about power, political theater, and maybe cheap labor to clean his mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Referring to back in the day when they had a sky blue, women's soccer team that he owned.
You know what? I'm changing my measured take. I'm going to throw in a hot take here, and I don't care. You know what? Go get him. Go in and prosecute. Go arrest. Do whatever you have to. Because you know what? You know, I was thinking about the whole fighting fire with fire concept and the weaponized DOJ and all the politics in the government. After the last 4 years, you know what? Send a message to Phil Murphy. Send a message to the state of New Jersey and let that reverberate throughout Chicago, Illinois, and Los Angeles, California, and every other blue hellhole. Do it. Just set them. You know what? It's not enough to go on Hannity and do the media tour. It's not enough to keep out tweeting out the ICE stats every day. It's not enough to do the ride alongs like this is Cops with Tom Walsh with Kristi Noem wearing the cowgirl hat. You know, go out there and say, you know what? F around and find out. Let's do it. Why not? Because it's not, in theory, it's not retaliation. It's not weaponized government. This is actually a violation of federal law. So you broke the law, not politics. And oh, by the way, you wanted to, flap your... By the way, Murphy, red sneakers with red socks. Did you notice that?
But I will say this. I think that what he risks here, I don't know what the heck he was trying to make. He hasn't been in the headlines for a while, so I guess he was just headline hungry. But I think that, some of these ICE operations are also, for example, at the car wash here in the Philadelphia area. A piece of that was looking at the employer. That's what is coming out of this.
Punish those people, too.
That they were saying that these were illegal individuals who were being taken advantage of. And so this, be careful, because as far as the Murphys go, if this is investigated and they say, who is this? First of all, why would anybody use a woman like this as a pawn? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I think that's bizarre to me that you would just... You throw this woman under the bus and say, knowing that there's a potential that they get a warrant and then she's taken out of this country. So you're...
It's almost like he wants her gone.
Yes. It's like bizarre.
Take that, Tammy.
So that's bizarre. And this could really be turned, if this is a person who's trying to go through the process legally.
Yeah.
This could be turned upside down to say, look at you guys wanting to use this poor woman as a pawn.
Yep.
She was trying to do something legally. Now she's, I don't know. It's so weird and
it's
icky.
Just a line.
Here's my theory that I have absolutely no evidence to back this up, but it's fun for radio. I'm just guessing here. Maybe Murphy is, you know, having a little thing.
Oh, stop.
And then
like a Doug Emhoff,
once
the nanny thing.
Once her out of the country because she's blackmailing him, and it's like, look, come get her. She's on top of our garage.
I don't need her name, but I will need a visual confirmation to confirm your theory.
Consuela.
That's a sin. Now, I also think people are assuming this individual is Mexican, but I never did they confirm that the person who Murphy identified, he identifies as a woman, but she could be Swedish.
Could be.
Yep. She could be.
Could be Middle Eastern.
She could be
Asian.
Eastern European, Mexican, yeah. African, Haitian. We don't know who this, but we know it's a woman.
Right. And think about how many nations have been represented coming up through our southern border illegally.
It's true.
Bill Malusian, he's done the interviews. Where are you from? And they just rattle off the countries.
So we don't know the country that this person is from, but we know that he says he has an quote-unquote immigrant living over the garage.
I'll take Ecuador for $200.
Yesterday, Chuck Schumer claims that President Trump's tariffs will raise the prices on beer because most of it comes from Mexico. He's a beer connoisseur. I can see.
He's a grill master, too.
And he brought in props.
Oh, yeah.
He brought in guacamole. Yeah. No. I think this is a lime. Was it a lime or a guacamole? I'm not sure.
I'm not sure, but they both go well with the Corona.
Roll it.
Let's just take Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes, let's.
It's going to affect beer.
Yeah, there's a Corona.
That's a 24-ouncer.
Most of it, Corona here, comes from Mexico. It's going to affect your guac.
There it is.
There's the avocado.
Guacamole native? Avocados.
Yeah.
Both from Mexico.
Yeah, by the way, have you ever...
What a stupid son of a bitch he is.
Have you ever tried to make your own guac? It is an arduous task.
Yeah.
You know, peeling those avocados,
so good,
busting them up. And by the way, I think Corona is actually made in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, it's... Yeah,
it's not really like...
Stop with this.
Mexican.
Stop with this. Most Mexican. Yeah. Most beer is made from Mexico.
Yeah.
Please, give me a break.
Yeah, the guy that also put cheese on his frozen burger on the 4th of July. But and you know what my biggest observation is this, I mean, old Democrat fossil using props. Like, this doesn't this just go to show you how out of touch Democrats are?
Yep.
I mean, I can't believe it's the Republicans that are more tech savvy and modernized in 2024. I mean, I would expect an old 75-year-old Republican to pull out a Corona can.
Yep.
Not a Democrat that's supposed to be, you know, relating to Gen Zers.
Well, what did he do before? Remember he tried to grill? And then
the burger was frozen.
We played this earlier. I want to play it again for the people that tune in for the cut sheet here, tune in late. This is cut 20 here. We talked about the Trump signing an executive order to create the U.S. Sovereign Wealth Fund. I'm not going to play the whole thing like we played earlier. I'll just play a little bit of it where he has, what's his name, Lutnick, and discussing what this sovereign wealth fund will do. A lot of people speculating they're going to use it to buy TikTok. Roll it, Phil.
This is an executive order. This charges your Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, and your Secretary of Commerce, Howard Lutnick, to begin a process that will hopefully result in the creation of an American sovereign wealth fund.
It's a very exciting event. We're going to have a sovereign wealth fund, which we've never had. We have a lot of things that create wealth, and you've seen that over the last 2 weeks. I think we've created more wealth. Other people have created de-wealth, the people, my predecessors. We're creating a lot of wealth. Scott, maybe you'd like to say something about it, and I'd ask also Howard to say something about it.
Yes, sir. This is very, very exciting. We're going to stand this thing up within the next 12 months. We're going to monetize the asset side of the U.S. balance sheet for the American people. We're going to put the assets to work. And I think
It's going to be very exciting. We're going to study best practices as done around the world. It will be a combination of liquid assets,
corporate
assets that we have in this country as we work to bring them out for the American people.
All right, there you go.
We'll come back to the serious commentary on this in a moment because we did spend a lot of time in the 6 o'clock hour on it. But have you noticed that Trump's executive orders that he signs is basically a political version of what's on the cut sheet? They introduce the order, and then he comments and riffs on it, and then other people comment on it, and then they move to the next one. And then also, did you see the big box of Sharpies that he has there?
Yes.
It looks like a box full of, like, high-end cigars. just like it's like his cigar stash. But you had Bosent and Lutnick. We played you Lutnick in the 6:30 segment there. And this, to me, feels like a vehicle to get to the point where you have enough revenue and enough assets and you've generated enough financial liquidity to purchase TikTok. Because I go back to what, and this is what I said in the 6 o'clock hour, I go back to what Elon Musk had said with others that were supposedly lining up to buy TikTok. And Elon said that they didn't have the assets. Remember, Elon spent $44 billion on X. TikTok is worth far more than that. It's probably worth $100 billion. So if this is a vehicle to purchase TikTok, okay. I just do not want the government as a partner for the official platform of TikTok.
You're okay with this?
You can't be in bed together.
You're okay with this as a vehicle to purchase TikTok?
As long as it does not lead to the suppression of speech, which the report from Fox, of all places, was that TikTok was censoring anti-Trump commentary, which we cannot have.
The government cannot be. And again, this is all new. This is all speculation. We don't know any of this.
Right.
We know that they've signed an executive order for this sovereign wealth fund, which on its face doesn't necessarily look like a bad idea. However, I am not for the government having any control, any say, any sort of ties to TikTok. None.
All of this requires congressional approval. So the executive order is that they get this under, here's the team, they get this underway, but to my, everything I've looked at here, it still requires congressional oversight.
You think those lapdogs are going to do anything different? Come on.
I don't know. If there's Republicans that are very pro-Trump but also very pro-First Amendment and free speech,
they're not going to go against him.
We'll see.
They're not.
And I would have no problem if they did. I will not criticize anybody that's against that because you can't be against Meta influenced by the Biden administration over censorship of Hunter Biden's laptop and then be on board with Trump's government purchasing TikTok. That makes you a hypocrite.
Agreed.
So that's my point. It's like, okay, and maybe I didn't clarify enough. Like, I'm with you, Greg, as far as I want zero involvement of the government having any say of social media. I just don't want the censorship. I want negative Trump comments out there. Makes for good content for me.
But I will say that as far as social media, we have to start looking at social media as just another media stream. In other words, we have the FCC that all of, you know, we're licensed.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the overlord that
those creeps.
So you want social media regulation via Brendan Carr and the FCC?
Well, I think here's the thing. I think streaming and social media are becoming the same or replacing the so-called legacy media,
yes.
Right?
Oh, absolutely.
So then it's unequal, Greg.
So
it's unfair that Joe Rogan doesn't have the FCC and we do, right?
Well, in what regards?
I mean, unfair and
cursing or being able to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
They have to pay the license.
There's nothing. I don't disagree with you, Don. There's nothing stopping Nick Cale, Don Senslin, Greg Stocker from going and working for Spotify and doing our own thing. Like, we're not beholden to be here. If we're going to be here, yes, we have to abide by the FCC's regulation. I just don't want another faceless, nameless bureaucratic agency that controls some sort of, like the FCC, a bunch of people that we don't elect, tells us what is decent and what is not decent.
But
I mean?
I would say this, though. I mean, to me, there's no, we are not under any, other than certain naughty words that we cannot say on the radio as a commercial operation. I mean, it's not like we're restricted. I mean, this is a free speech station. Never once have I been said a topic is off limits. I mean, hell, we talked about who's purchasing up, you know, our debt as a company because we felt like we had to take it head on. So to me, And you could sit there and say, well, Rogan and those guys, they get to curse. And I have a foul mouth.
Me too.
And I would love to curse. But truth be told, I don't think cursing adds anything to our presentation.
No, it certainly does.
You think so?
I'm kidding.
I mean, look, I don't think you should be offended if I was allowed to drop F-bombs. But if you don't like that sort of language as you're, you know, a religious Christian or whatever, I get it. I can make my point without being a moron.
But as long as you conjugate it properly.
Well, I will never conjugate correctly, Dawn. Ever.
Touche.
My brand.
But getting back to the government regulating of social media because it is actually now the new media. I mean, like, that is just that's a scary place to be. You know what I mean? Like, we need social media as the checks and balances now, because God knows our government's not going to do it.
Or the journalists in the mainstream won't.
Or our elected officials aren't going to do it. So nope. We need checks and balances against the government, no matter who it is, no matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat. We need somebody in there. We need the people's voice to be able to speak out against injustices.
I agree.
And that's not going to happen if the government has any say in it. I'm just saying.
Yep. Totally
and so the
agree.
Devil lies in the details. What do we... Earlier this morning, when we talk about the Trump surprise effect, how did Trump win in 2016? Nobody saw him coming. How did Trump win this time? Because nobody saw him coming as far as using these streaming, relatively new frontier of media and communication to reach voters. And so this is where, if this requires congressional approval, then do the Democrats look at this and say, aha. So if we get in there and we control these streaming areas, then we cut down this type of effect, and thus we eliminate perhaps outlier candidates.
Well, that's true, but it's also more than just Trump's ability this time around to use different avenues to get his message out. If the Democrats are saying, boy, you know, we didn't see this coming, Trump's success on TikTok with a dumpster skit and a McDonald's drive-through skit. The other thing, if they're trying to sit there and say, why did we lose? Well, social media and new media platforms is a part of it, but the other part was the lawfare. The other part was the attempted assassinations. There are many people out there that believe the moment they started the lawfare against Trump, that was the nail in the coffin. You weaponized the government. You did the whole, quote, third world banana republic stuff. So if you want to win moving forward, maybe not weaponize government against your political opponents is a good starting point.
Yeah, I think so. My inference from Trump is looking at like Saudi Arabia. And what he looks at is the money, is the big picture. And so I know that he talked about that. We're going to our sovereign wealth fund. It's going to be the biggest. It's going to be the most, you know what I mean? It's going to be the best. We're going to exceed Saudi Arabia's. So he's looking at these sovereign wealth funds of other countries. I think China has it too, by the way, and states have it. So he's a big picture guy. So he's putting Lutnick and Bessent and others to say, you guys figure out the details and then you'll have to get the congressional approval. And let's make a target date of 12 months. And then Trump moves on to the next executive order because he's a big picture guy. And I don't think he's involved in the minutiae that we're talking about. So I don't think Trump is out to control media or control TikTok.
You can tell he has no idea what he just signed because he asked Lutnick and Bessent to explain it because he couldn't. He's like, it's this, and it's very powerful. And explain more.
Because he talked about this, Greg, though. He talked about this over the years. I've heard him before. But he might not know the minutiae, to your point. All he knows is that this is a great revenue source. And so he gets his peeps to talk about the details. How does it work? How do you legally set it up? What do you need to set it up? Do you know what I mean?
Yesterday, also, the media had their hair on fire because they shut down the USAID.
I love this story.
So, let's start with Marco Rubio here. He came out and he says he's the new acting director of the USAID. Let's just roll a little Marco.
Well, look, I mean, my frustration with USAID goes back to my time in Congress. It's a completely unresponsive agency. It's supposed to respond to policy directives of the State Department, and it refuses to do so. So the functions of USAID, there are a lot of functions of USAID that are going to continue, that are going to be part of American foreign policy, but it has to be aligned with American foreign policy. I said very clearly during my confirmation hearing that every every dollar we spend and every program we fund, that will be aligned with the national interest of the United States. And USAID has a history of sort of ignoring that and deciding that they're somehow a global charity separate from the national interest. These are taxpayer dollars. And so I'm very troubled by these reports that they've been unwilling to cooperate with people who are asking simple questions about what does this program do, who gets the money, who are our contractors, who's funded, and that sort of level of insubordination makes it impossible to conduct the sort of mature and serious review that I think foreign aid writ large should have. We're spending taxpayer money here. These are not donor dollars. These are taxpayer dollars, and we owe the American people the assurances that every dollar we are spending abroad is being spent on something that furthers our national interest. And so far, a lot of the people that work at USAID have just simply refused to cooperate.
Are you currently in charge of USAID?
I'm the acting director of USAID. I've delegated that authority to someone, but I stay in touch with him. And again, our goal was to go in and align our foreign aid to the national interest. But if you go to mission after mission and embassy after embassy around the world, you will often find that in many cases, USAID is involved in programs that run counter to what we're trying to do in our national strategy with that country or with that region.
And now it runs counter to what the United States put back into office, which was ending a lot of these absurdities. I don't want to steal the thunder of Caroline Levitt because I know you have her on the cut sheet coming up, but Breitbart has a breakdown of some of the funds that have been doled out under this ridiculous concept of USAID. $1.5 million for diversity, equity, and inclusion in Serbia.
Hang on. Before we talk about, or before we just take this administration at face value that this is actually what's happening, remember with the condoms in Gaza, that story was a little, inflated a little bit. Are we 100% sure that this
Wait, Greg, was $50 million given? Yes. Turns out only $7 million or less was actually condoms. There were birth control pills. There was all kinds of other stuff. So do you care? I don't care. It was $50 million in that kind of thing in that arena.
Yeah.
And the exact numbers of the condoms, I could care less.
Right. I mean, even if it's one condom used in some sort of explosive device to kill an innocent Jew, I mean, it's one too many. Because I'm of the belief in this, and I know it's a pipe dream. I get it. I'm against all this foreign aid.
Yeah, did we get $50 million to the North Carolinians struck by the hurricane who are still, like, living in a freaking RV
and standing
in line for their propane? And these JAs are out there giving condoms and whatever to people in some other remote country?
FCC will grant you permission. Jackasses, you can say it.
I didn't know I could.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, Caroline, you're late if you didn't drop your kid off.
Yeah, that's bad parenting out of you. You're probably a Cowboys fan as well. I mean, we're spending thousands of dollars on transgender comic books. What the hell is that about? I don't want that in America, much less some slapnut nation. And I say this as somebody who's relatively responsible with my finances. We just light cash on fire. On fire. And it's unacceptable because the only way it's justifiable is if we were living in the United States and this was this beautiful utopian society where we had every I dotted, every T crossed, we were on our A game in every facet of society and not a human being had a complaint on earth. But since we don't, why are we spending this money? This is the ideal creation of Doge. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. A DEI musical in Ireland? I'm Irish and I'm still offended by that.
Can I say something? I'm just going to say this. When I saw this story, and I even heard Trump saying initially when it was created, like maybe even during the Reagan administration, and he said initially maybe their hearts were in the right places. What I thought of was this is Elon Musk. And you know, like the old movie where the hero goes in and they're down in the swamp cave and they find the swamp creature's nest and they blow it up. This is the swamp creature's nest. This is the place by which they found all the loopholes and all the abilities. And yes, on its outset for its creation, well-meaning, but I think they found the mother nest. They found a place whereby they can funnel all this money. And if you look at it, immigration, U.S. citizenship, voting in elections, travel, U.S. Agency for International Development. What do they really do?
I think it's only 1% of the budget, though.
Well, that's a huge budget, Greg. Look how big the dang budget
I'm just
is.
That's the clip.
Give me 1% of the budget. Right, that's I'll be the wealthiest woman you know.
That's the clip I played in the Big Take with Margaret Brennan, where she's like fact checking. Well, it's actually only 1%. I don't care if it's 1%, 10%, or 0.1%. Why is that? And by the way, this is not partisan. So I'm not saying it has to go to North Carolina. I'm not saying it has to go to East Palestine, Ohio. But if you're going to tell me, so let's just take one element, right? $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia. I would rather see that $47,000.
It's a transgender opera.
I have no idea, and I don't ever want to go. But I would rather give that $47,000 to an American in Hollywood that had their house destroyed in Pacific Palisades, even though they are probably a Democrat. Those people deserve $47,000 more than anybody in Colombia for an opera. Ridiculous.
Play Caroline Levitt, 3.
Go on, Blondie. Let's go. Up and at 'em. This isn't a rest home.
From USAID, over the past several years, these are some of the insane priorities that that organization has been spending money on. $1.5 million to advance DEI in Serbia's workplaces. $70,000 for a production of a DEI musical in Ireland. $47,000 for a transgender opera in Colombia. $32,000 for a transgender comic book in Peru. I don't know about you, but as an American taxpayer, I don't want my dollars going towards this crap, and I know the American people don't either, and that's exactly what Elon Musk has been tasked by President Trump to do, to get the fraud, waste, and abuse out of our federal government. Thank you, guys.
I didn't hear a word she said. I was just caught up by the optics. Man, Trump has his type, doesn't he? Trump certainly has his vision for what he wants in his individuals. What a performance. So, yes, exactly what I was talking about. And the other thing with this that really is infuriating is when you call out previous administrations or you bring this up, they try to hit you back with the humanity card. And you're I thought you were, and like, no, I'm an American first individual. I don't want any of these dollars spent. It's just so, I think, irresponsible, and I think there's a vast amount of Americans that if they were aware, and some of this is on American citizens that have their head in the clouds, that have their head in the sand, that don't pay attention to this stuff, but I think if you went around and you were doing door-to-door knocking, like during a campaign season, and you just went to a run-of-the-mill neighborhood in South Philadelphia or any other Democrat stronghold, and you just pulled out that sheet of paper, I mean, would that not, like, trigger people to the point where they would consider changing parties or going for somebody that is America first? It's astounding to me that Trump's platform, or even specifically here with Elon and formerly Vivek Ramaswamy, that they wanted to just obliterate $1 trillion in the deficit. Somebody would actually have a problem with that. When we're talking about a $36 trillion deficit, our country is on the verge of being broke, bankrupt. And look, is Elon's goal a little
how about
overly
Pentagon
optimistic?
Contracts?
Get rid of the military industrial complex. Absolutely.
Because you know Elon has a ton of those, right?
He should. Okay. He should get rid of them. I'd be fine with that. I don't want any wars.
You're talking oranges and apples because I believe that a Pentagon.
No, I thought you said 1%. No. It's all money that we all need. You know
right,
what I mean?
Let's... One thing is there's more transparency. Obviously, you have to get congressional approval for the Pentagon budget. And by the way, I believe that as far as the budgets, you're talking about like nearly $68 billion. That's 1% of the federal budget. $68 billion, not for nothing. But I think that's a whole lot of money that we don't have. Trent, did you know that? I didn't know that.
You're
Who
saying
1%?
1% of $68 billion?
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying it's the budget itself was in the so it's 1% of $6.8 trillion.
Yeah, it's $68 million.
So you think about that. I just think this is a whole lot of money mm-hmm. that we did not have transparency, a whole lot of money that did not have that proper congressional oversight. This is a money laundering operation that, by the way, not only does the money go through this USAID, but then because these lawmakers are involved with it, there's a pushback and a give back.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's not transparency. I want, to Greg's point, I want transparency transparency on all of this.
And I'm not saying you got to gut the entire military industrial complex budget by any stretch. I mean, you obviously have to have border security north of the border, south of the border. You got to have all your intelligence. You know, it's not like you're just going to strip all of it. But if Trump's able to wrap up our involvement with Russia, Ukraine, as well as the Middle East, I mean, there's countless dollars out there that do not need to be spent on the military industrial complex, which will trigger all the war hawks, specifically on the Republican Party of old, like Lindsey Graham, the Nikki Haley's, and the ones that are pro-war now on the Democrat side.
Well, the Democrats used this as an opportunity to grandstand yesterday. Let's start with Jamie Raskin, who blasted Elon Musk for... Notice, it's interesting to me. It's interesting to me that Elon Musk is getting all the headlines in this.
Mm-hmm.
Very smart by the Trump administration,
yep.
I believe, to keep Elon Musk as the face of this,
yep.
Because then he can just keep it at arm's length, and then if it goes in a direction he doesn't like, he can just get rid of Elon Musk. And
he's the shield.
Roll Raskin.
Elon Musk, you didn't create U.S. aid. The United States Congress did for the American people.
Right.
And just like Elon Musk did not create U.S. aid, he doesn't have the power to destroy it. And who's going to stop him? We are. Yes. We're going to stop him.
Yes.
Elon Musk, you may have illegally seized power over the financial payment systems of the United States Department of Treasury, but you don't control the money of the American people. The United States Congress does that.
That's right. We get to waste
under
their money, not you.
One of the Constitution.
No, F you. I hate this guy. Yeah, I hate this
yourself.
Guy, too. Thank you.
I just want to, it's 6.75%. So we're talking about 1% of this huge budget, which is, we can't even wrap our brains around this money, is $68 billion. And are you okay? Did you know about USAID? Did you know that out of this one group, they give all of this foreign money, and we never knew about it? And so they're saying also, they created all these jobs. They created this bloated bureaucracy, and with all these bureaucrats hired, we never knew about it. Now we know about it.
Brother, do you guys think Elon Musk will be around at the end of Trump's term?
No. No.
In 4 years?
No.
Well, he's
not going to be around in a year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Elon Musk, he's reportedly working like around the clock. And so I think to be honest, he'll get bored of this.
In between the 150 tweets a day he does?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
Well, he's got his time where he plays video games.
He's working around the clock. He tweets more than any human being alive, including Nick Cale.
I really don't tweet a lot, actually, if you do the math.
He's a brilliant guy who's on the spectrum. I had a boss like this at a TV station, won't name him. These kinds of individuals are, like, brilliant. Their minds never stop. But I predict Elon will get bored of this. But Elon is showing us, you know, the old saying, show me the money. Elon Musk is just revealing all of this. It's pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, and I think it's a vanity project for him. I mean, at the end of the day, he's going to move on to other things. He's the wealthiest man on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said all along, I thought Vivek Ramaswamy's short-lived era of being half of Doge, what he was able to accomplish, and obviously it's nothing because he was basically gone before the administration took over, you know, what he was able to present publicly is far more impactful for the future of his career than Elon Musk. This is going to end up being kind of like a little bullet point on his LinkedIn or Wikipedia, whereas for Vivek, this is his livelihood.
Another hard human, Ilhan Omar, she took to the grandstanding. This is what she said. Cut 16, Phil.
Thank you, Senator. It is really, really a sad day in America. We are witnessing a constitutional crisis.
If she doesn't like it so much, why doesn't
she
go back to where she...
I agree. I agree. All the squad
Dems. Where's she from, Somalia or something?
Yeah. All the squad Democrats that hate America, that are here grifting and making money, once again, if you don't like it, leave.
Yeah.
If you have, especially when you have the ability to leave, right?
Yeah, exactly. 99%
of people, I believe, have the ability to leave where they live.
And by the way, nobody's stopping anybody from giving, you know, their money to, wherever they want to give their money to. You know what I mean?
Who are electing these people? I understand maybe she has a following based on her, you know, religion and faith in the district that she represents. But my God, she resonates with about 0.2% of Americans.
But, you know, I just think when you look at this, even if, let's say you're not an expert, you just see this headline. When you see these headlines and you see who is protesting and basically losing their mind over this USAID, that tells me all I need to know. These far left progressives are freaking out because they found the funding for all of their kooky, nutty pet projects.
Money laundering.
Yes. That kick back money to them and perpetuate all this nonsense.
Mm-hmm. You can move on from her.
Trump wanting to be a dictator on day one. Here we are.
Shut up.
Take your Burberry scarf and beat it.
Chucky Schumer, this is Cut 7, Phil. He claims that the president... Oh, no, no. This is not Cut 7. I just said that. Sorry. I lost my place here. Hold on.
Poor Chuck.
Everybody...
As Greg cues it up, 50 senior USAID staffers are on administrative leave right now.
Good.
He says, look, if DOGE can shut down USAID, next might be the IRS or the intelligence agency.
Oh, no.
Good God. Heaven forbid that happens. Roll it.
Also know this is just the beginning. If DOGE attacks USAID today, then you can be sure they'll move on to another target tomorrow.
Yep. Good.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be the Postal Service or the IRS or even the Social Security Administration. They could be next. Or maybe our national security agencies.
Thank God.
God's honest truth. I mean, obviously the big picture here is big government versus small versus limited government versus maybe even no government. I mean, we always talk about these shutdowns. Oh, my God, the government's going to shut down if they don't strike a deal by Friday. And how many times has the government shut down? And how many times have we actually missed or felt the impact? Let me just isolate one specific example that he mentioned, the Postal Service. If the Postal Service closed today, would you give a rip?
Yes.
Yeah, stop. Stop.
Yes.
No, you wouldn't.
But
people let their mail sit in their mailbox for 3 days. They grab it. They throw it in the trash.
Nick,
we've all moved on to Amazon.
My husband's obsessed.
Oh.
That mailman comes. And
everything's
he's like
paperless
a kid.
And wireless now. We pay our bills on our phone. Stop with the Postal Service. Is this 1913?
The point is, the U.S. Postal Service is pretty efficient. They're pretty good, quite frankly.
I'm not saying my mailman. I'm not saying I want people to lose their jobs. They're good workers out there. A lot of postal people listen to talk radio because they're driving around 8 hours a day. I get it. I totally get it. But seriously, are we really going to miss it?
Yes.
Chuck Schumer just wants to keep everything running.
I think Chuck Schumer is talking about your mail because he knows people like their mailman, or mailwoman. But I will say this, Elon, is he going after U.S. Postal Service? Did he go after them, Nick?
No. It's just fear porn.
No. So I just think it's significant. They're freaking out. They're losing their minds because Elon Musk found their treasure trove. And Elon is not going after these other agencies. He's going after one that we didn't really even know existed.
And to show how out of touch, again, Schumer is, he's peddling out the fear of, God forbid, the Postal Service close. You think Gen Z or Gen Alpha knows what the post office? If I asked my daughters, girls, where's the local post office? They'd have no idea. Again, it's really weird the flip of the political realignment in this country where it's guys like Chuck Schumer that are Democrat fossils using the post office as a way of politicizing fear. When I, short of, our guy that sends us all this mail that nobody opens back here in our studio, I mean, who's using the post office? My father-in-law does. I'll give you that. I know one person in my circle that still uses the mailman. My father-in-law.
Wait, get mail at your house? Get mail?
I do, but by the time you get like an invoice, you've already paid it 7 days ago on auto payment on your apps.
Okay.
It's just clutter.
I have more, but we should take a quick break real fast.
Coffee went right through me.
God, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
You really need
you have more? What else you were going to say?
No. We have a ton more. I mean, there's so much more here on the cut sheet.
I love
One of the reporters asked Caroline Levitt about Elon Musk's background check and security clearance.
Did he clear? Did he get through?
We'll get to that.
We'll find out. Kale and Company, stay right there. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
I am actually a Staples customer. That's where I get my my legal pads for all my beautiful wisdom where I transcribe from the brain to the pad.
Oh, you mean Nick? You're one of those guys that writes things on paper and print things. And print things out? I mean, how would you do that?
Yes.
How would you do that? What is this, 1913?
No, it's not. It's 1987.
Thank you.
Is he writing cursive?
No. By the way, I tried to do that a couple of weeks ago.
Cursive?
Because
writing?
They're doing it in school with my daughters.
They are?
My daughters put me to the test.
They're
Yeah. They're like, daddy,
Nick,
can you write
a big
cursive?
Deal.
It is.
Because they're in a public school.
I can only do certain letters and have to be lowercase. I forget how to do the capital G in cursive. Mm-hmm. I mean, try it one time. You'll be like, your hand will be like, yeah.
This is a thing because most public schools nowadays don't teach cursive, and we're now going to go back to that.
Yeah.
When I
write, by the way, I use all capital letters, too. I don't know. Maybe that makes me a communist. I'm not really sure.
I remember you sent me a picture one time of like one of your big takes that you wrote.
And I typed in caps,
And I was just like, this is like a serial killer.
Yes.
Did I hire a serial killer?
Possibly.
Have you always done that?
Well, usually it started with, it would kill little animals.
No, I will say, I mean, in news, usually it's all caps, mm-hmm. and it's because it's in prompter.
Right.
So it's in TV news, so it's all in the right-hand column, and it's all caps.
Well, that's why the big take is in caps. Yep. That's
so
kind of my...
part of it is you went to Temple, right? And part of it is your communications journalism degree.
My old man always used to write in caps, too. I noticed that. I've inherited all of his bad traits. His hairline.
It's not a
his
bad
short
trait.
Lifespan.
Stop.
His penmanship.
I'm sorry.
But there is evidence.
Gallus Huber, buddy.
I know. Your parents are in heaven. They're looking out for you.
Yeah, they're laughing.
Trump yesterday again held an impromptu press conference in the Oval Office. He brought up the Ukraine. We haven't heard a lot about Ukraine. There was a clip that was going around. We didn't play it because it was in
Russian.
It was not in English. This
is a bad idea.
Of what's his name? The Zelensky.
Yeah.
Talking about how like. You still owe us. The United States still owes us $100 million or $1 billion or something. And,
like an entitled teenager.
Yes, exactly. You owe me! So Trump addressed the what's happening in Ukraine yesterday, and this is what he said. Roll it.
One of the problems we have with the Russia-Ukraine situation is that we want to see some equalization because we're in for... close to $300 billion, and they're in for $200 billion less. Why are they in for less? Because Biden never asked them for money. He never said, you got to pay. He never did. All he did is hand out money. So we're talking with them right now, and we're actually working some deals right now, so we have some guarantees and some other things to keep that whole situation to go, really going. I mean, going. We're telling Ukraine they have very valuable rare earth. We want what we put up to go in terms of a guarantee. We want a guarantee. We're handing them money hand over fist. We're giving them equipment. European is not keeping up with us. They should equalize. And look, we have an ocean in between. They don't. It's more important for them than it is for us. But they're way below us in terms of money. And they should be paying... at least equal. They should really be paying much more than us, but let's say equal to us, and they're billions and billions of dollars below. So we're looking to do a deal with Ukraine where they're going to secure what we're giving them with their rare earth and other things.
You know, I want to just comment on not only the availability of Trump. I mean, every single day, it seems like, or darn near close to it, these impromptu pressers that are going on in between all the signing. And we always hear the phrase, you see it on TV, on the banners for the news networks, the first 100 days, right? So January 21st, you go out to April 21st. That's roughly 90 days. So when we get to the end of April, right, right before the beginning of May, forget about whether you voted for Trump, whether you like Trump, whatever it might be. When we talk about what somebody campaigned on,
versus what they actually said they would do and then ended up putting it and implementing it and putting it into place. Forget whether or not the economy gets to where he says it will get to in due time or whatever. Are we going to look back? If you can look at this through the lens of objectivity, and I know we live in this tribal political society, has anybody accomplished or set in motion more than this guy in this term, as we are now 2 weeks and 2 days into his third term? Let's fast forward, Dawn, past Easter to the end of April. I mean, we're talking about the first 100 days. He might, in theory, have the groundwork laid out for every single thing he said he would do. Whether or not it ends up being good or backfiring, this, that, or the other thing, whether or not it gets met with resistance, you know, in the, when it goes up for vote in the House and the Senate, and who provides pushback and all of that, this, the lawsuits, the judges, the illegalities, he's overstepping his power, his boundaries. I mean, it's almost like he has his own self-imposed 100-day expiration date. And it's just a sprint to the finish line, which is remarkable because we did say this is not really 4 years for Trump. Trump has about 18 months, right? Till the midterms come up in 2026. Republicans, in theory, could lose the House or the Senate, whatever it might be. I mean, I'm not, look, the last 2 days, I mean, I've been questioning and critical of Trump on certain things, you know, whether it was tariffs or, you know, purchasing TikTok. But I mean, 2 weeks and 2 days in, this is astounding what they have done. You talked about Elon Musk not sleeping. We know Trump doesn't sleep. It was, what, 4 hours a night, tops?
Well, I mean, to your point, the next, and Linda Kearns told us about this, you know, we think of presidential elections, but we start in April 1st. We start in April with municipal elections across the country and here in the Commonwealth in New Jersey. And then, of course, Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. And so there's never a rest. And so for Trump right now to get his agenda, roll it out, and because why? They all have to figure it out. And then some of this is going to be debated and Congress held accountable. Well, how are you going to vote for these things? And so that will impact the election. So for him, I think he wanted to hit the fan, get his agenda out. Everybody, now Congress has to deal with all this. It keeps them very busy. But the way the things that they're going after force everybody, Republicans and Democrats, to take a side.
I mean, I'm literally, I think later today, I'm going to go back and pull up the 20-point agenda for his 2024 platform and see if there's one thing on there that has not been at least introduced in the early stages of what he said he would do. So pretty remarkable.
As far as the Trump, it's basically a barter. And again, it's what do we get out of it? It's not just, oh, yeah, Ukraine, we're going to just throw you billions of dollars out of the goodness of our hearts. No, no, no. What do we as the USA, what do we get out of it? So the fact that they want rare minerals, I think that Ukraine's leader Zelensky has said he supports that. Russia is not happy. And they've been speaking out. They're not happy with this whole thing. They want an end to the war, bottom line. But in essence, they're pushing back on that this morning.
Yep.
We forgot about all the nominees too, the Cash Patels and the Tulsi Gabbards and everything. So Trump was asked yesterday about the FBI's reputation and Cash Patel. This is cut 10. Phil, go.
Mr. President, on a different topic, questionnaires have been going out to FBI agents across the country who were involved potentially in the investigation. Do you believe anyone involved at any level should be fired, sir?
Well, I think the FBI was a very corrupt institution, and I'm a victim of it in a true sense. I was able to beat it, but other people have been treated horribly. I think the FBI had a great reputation. I think its reputation was really damaged badly, as is DOJ. Look at what they've done in terms of weaponization. Look at what they've done to a political opponent. Probably got me elected by what they did. Or I think I was doing well anyway, but they might have got me elected. But you know what? We have to have pristine, beautiful, perfect law enforcement. And what we want to do, and Cash is the one to do it. He's the one guy that is going to do it. We have to bring the reputation of the FBI. We have to bring the fact of the FBI back to what it could be. not even to what it was, even better than it ever was. Because who would have thought that the FBI could have been corrupted like they were corrupted? Who would have thought that would have happened? Who would have thought they would have been used to go after, you know, political opponents, essentially, but me being the number one, and so many other things beyond that. And they've been hurt very badly, and we'll see what happens. But Cash is the one to do it, and I hear he's doing very well. Cash will straighten it out. We have great confidence that we can make the FBI great again.
You know, we are of the belief that Doge, with their self set expiration of July 2026, basically an 18-month program when America turns 250 years old, is set to go away. At this rate, with the way they're exposing spending, I think Elon Musk could be done before July of 2026. But I think when we get to the end of the first Trump term 4 years from now, we're going to go back and we're going to sit there and say, who really stood out? Who kicked ass and took names? I think at the top of the list will be Tom Homan and ICE. But right below that will be Cash Patel. And you think about the FBI. When you say those three letters, I mean, it just elicits a response. Like, you hear it and you think about Hollywood and, you know, the FBI thriller movies and books. And then you realize what the FBI has become. Also, the prestige that used to be around the Secret Service, right? And then we realized after July 13th in Butler how the Secret Service is not as buttoned up as we thought. So, if there's one man that I think can achieve a decent amount of what he sets out to do, it's Cash Patel. Again, he's going to have to fight through a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of red tape. He's not going to turn the Hoover Building into a museum. But I do think he is a guy that I think he's 43 or 44 years old. Another guy that has zero F's given, and that's the kind of guy that I like.
Yeah, and remember I reported earlier this week as far as the FBI. So we know that Friday night, there was the reported headline last Friday night, FBI purge for top FBI officials. But now FBI agents are being asked to fill out a questionnaire, in particular about their if they investigated J6.
Mm-hmm.
That's a headline going within the past
investigated
hours.
Or were involved in?
All of the above.
Okay.
And so there's a lot of reaction to that as far as the concern by even the unions saying, wait a minute, our FBI agents or law enforcement, if they were ordered to investigate something, they were assigned something, are they facing pushback or something? Or you could read that differently. You could say, are these individuals, what were they told? If you're asking them, what were you ordered to do? And perhaps, I mean, if they're just doing anonymous questioning like companies like ours, you know, do, like they ask you questions, that's one thing. But if they're named and they're law enforcement, is there an intimidation factor here? If you're, you know what I mean? If you're law enforcement, whether it's local or state or federal,
mm-hmm.
and you're putting your name on a survey and you say, yes, I investigated this, are you then being intimidated?
Right. I always love
because, you know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
you were following orders?
I always love anonymous surveys that require your information on it. Well, if they're anonymous, why do you care who it's coming from?
Trump also addressed the USAID situation. This is cut 11, Phil, go.
The first term, though, USAID was something that you liked in some respects.
I love the concept of it. Yeah,
program.
Sure. I love the concept, but they turned out to be radical left lunatics. And the concept of it is good, but it's all about the people.
Mr. President.
Did I read this correctly? And I'm going to try to find it. I wish I would have actually emailed this and sent it out. Under this umbrella of USAID, they were also looking into hormone replacements for animals, and I believe this was with either dogs and or cats. I'm going to see if I can track this story down. I saw it yesterday. In regards to possible transitioning of animals. Now, I've got to find where I saw this. I thought it might have been Bloomberg, but I could be off on that. Mm. We're going to have to find that.
Wonder what PETA would have to say about that.
I know.
Is that abuse?
I mean, we're going to go. It's bad enough that you got to hear about how COVID can jump from humans to animals. Now, do you got gender ideology in the pet world?
Senator John Kennedy, your favorite guy, discussed the Democrats, his Democrat colleagues, bitching and moaning about the USAID being cut off. Cut 21.
Let me say first, Sean, that it's kind of cool having a president again. let me try to put all this in context for you.
Shut up.
I like omelets. I mean, I really like omelets.
You
I could eat
omelet?
An omelet at every meal.
With grits.
I like omelets better than sex. not really, but you get the point. I like omelets.
I don't know.
You can't make an omelet.
Hang on. This is amazing. Stop it.
I don't care. Forget it. Just stop. You don't need anything else. I don't care about his thoughts. I don't care about his thoughts on aid and anything else that matters.
No, we do.
Omelets versus sex.
Yes.
Phil, put that up in the poll chat. Omelets or sex? I love them. I mean, every time we go on remote, whether we're at in Bucks County up at the or the lodge, we had the omelets at the lodge in October.
You give me some spinach and a little onion, tomato, maybe a meat in there, a sausage or a bacon. Throw in a nice cheese, little brown crust across the omelet. Ah.
Newly engaged Sean Hannity, quiet on that one. I think Sean.
Sean Ainsley, Earhart, or omelet?
I think he's going with Earhart.
I probably would.
Now, President Trump ran for office saying, I'm going to review every single penny in the federal budget. Now, how are you going to review the spending in the federal budget without reviewing the spending? And that's what Mr. Musk is doing. Now, many of my Democratic colleagues and some of the tofu-eating Wokarati at the USAID are screaming like they're part of a prison riot because they don't want us reviewing the spending. But that's all Mr. Musk is doing, and he's finding some pretty interesting stuff. To my friends who are upset, I would say with respect, you know, call somebody who cares. They better get used to this. It's USAID today. It's going to be Department of Education tomorrow. And really, here's what's going on. For 4 years under President Biden, the people in charge asked one simple question. Who needs to pay more in taxes? Who needs to pay more in taxes? Well, that's not the question that the Republicans and President Trump are going to ask. Our question is, what the hell happened to the money?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that's going on.
It's a great point. All we heard was Biden, oh, I want billionaires and corporations to pay their fair share, pay your fair share. Well, let's look at the money that you are scooping up and where it's going. And now, like Dawn said, you know, we've basically opened up the box and we can look at the books. You know, this is like the ledger in The Untouchables. Once you got Al Capone's ledger, you realized what was going on and it blew your mind, right? And the amount of waste is just unbelievable. There's so many. I mean, let's just focus in on one because we're about 6.5-7 weeks away. Travis Mannion Foundation Radiothon's coming up. Just imagine if you took some of that money that was wasted on all those silly things like Irish operas that were spending money, and we just took care of some of our homeless vets that actually served our country. Just take you know the good work that we could do with just a couple $100,000 for veterans in just this listening area. We just waste it all.
That's where we should break and come back after this.
Omelets and sex, huh? I'll tell you what. If I ever get to host the Pints in Politics, John Kennedy's got to be the guy. I think that would be the most hilarious one we could possibly do. Definitely not Hannity, though. 855-839-1210, Kale and Company, hour number 4 on the way. We're going to get to a Dawn Stensland and Big 3. And also, I have these two stories that I teased that we have to get to. Suburban moms are now threatening senators if they do not confirm RFK Jr. Don't mess with Maha Mamas. Back after this on Kale and Company.
When it comes to your home, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has been building a reputation for transforming kitchens with such precision and such care. From custom cabinets, which they do in-house, local company, everything is done here, to the countertops, backsplashes, to the all-important storage solutions. Kitchen Magic, they get the job done fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without the hassle. You can trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation Go to KitchenMagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. KitchenMagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.